This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Chris Brooks here, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Did you know that we are funded by the generosity of listeners just like you? Would you help us finish this month strong? Just call 888-644-4144 or give at equipradio.org. Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I am so thrilled that you've joined me today. Can you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Well, I want to welcome you into what will be a run-up, a very important, significant march to the cross. All week long, we want to prepare you for reflecting, celebrating, and remembering the significance of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the watershed moment of our faith. But not only that, it is the watershed moment of human history. As a matter of fact, all of human history hangs on the door hinge of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? It's because Jesus declared himself to be Lord of all, and he proved that fact to be true through the cross, through the death that he died, and his subsequent resurrection and triumph. And I believe that if Christianity is going to be defended, ultimately it boils down to this, that if Christ did die and he did raise from the dead, then everything else, as I've often said, is a footnote. It's not that those other things don't matter, but it means that the most important thing has been settled. So today and throughout this week, I want to convince you. I want to convince you that the resurrection of Jesus is true, and that all starts with the cross of Christ. I want to not only convince you that it's true, but that it matters. That it matters because Jesus declares himself to be the Prince of Peace. Now, this is significant that Jesus is the Prince of Peace because what it means is that for you and I to find peace, we can only find that in him. We can't find peace in our own human strategies. We can't argue ourselves to peace or fight ourselves into peace. We certainly can't vote ourselves into peace. You see, peace is not legislated in any form of human government. No, he is the Prince of Peace. We accept him as our Lord and Savior, and he gives peace in our hearts. And he put it this way, that his peace he would give us not as the world gives. You know, the peace that the world offers is so fleeting. It's here today and gone tomorrow. I think we all know what that type of peace is like, or the lack thereof. But if you want permanent, abiding peace in a world that is so full of anxiety, so full of stress and worry, it is found in Jesus. Peace for our world is ultimately found in Jesus, and yes, peace for our hearts. You know, recently I was praying for my children as I was dropping them off at school in the morning, as is my routine, and my prayer for them just about every day is, Lord, replace the anxiety in their hearts with peace. I know what it's like to carry around burdens that feel too great for me. I know what it's like to be so distracted by worry that I can't focus in on my job, I can't focus in on my recreation, I can't even focus in on the things that matter most to me. But I also know what it's like to have the peace of Jesus. He also gives us peace with God. You see, this is where the cross becomes ultimately important, and that is that you and I, because of our sin, have a breach in our relationship with God. That means that we are rightfully deserving of the judgment of God and the subsequent wrath of God that comes along with that judgment. But the message of Jesus Christ in the scriptures is repent and believe to avoid the wrath that is to come. I want to talk about this and so much more today in our message. Today, you and I get a chance to look at the Word of God, and in particular, a glorious chapter in Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we hear one of the earliest statements of faith. It is the Apostle Paul declaring what Christians believe. Over the years, Christians have saw fit to declare these things we believe and to form what have been called classically creeds. Now, creeds are simply ancient statements of faith, and there's been so many written throughout the years, but one that many Christians have unified around called the Apostles' Creed. And if you were to read the Apostles' Creed, one of the lines in the Apostles' Creed simply reads, "I believe in the resurrection." I hope you do. I hope you believe in the resurrection. You can find a copy of the Apostles' Creed on our website. But today, what I want you to do is grab your Bible. Open your Bible app, if you have that. And I want us to join together in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we discuss why we should believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
We have been studying an old statement of faith that comes from just years after the resurrection of Jesus, where the church began to ask the question, how do we communicate what we believe to a world that maybe is confused about the Christian message? You know, throughout every generation, it's been incumbent upon believers to clarify what it is we believe. And so every generation has tried to communicate in one way or the other these things we believe. My father was a history teacher for 27 years before he went on to be with the Lord, and he taught me not to fall into the sin or the trap of chronological snobbery, to think that a contemporary generation is somehow wiser, smarter, or more insightful than the ones that have come before us. The fact of the matter is, and if you're under 40, you really need to hear this, there's much we can learn from those who came before us, even though they didn't have Google. Now, if you pay attention to the generations that came before us, what they did really, really well, many of them, is in very efficient words communicate what it is they believed. And today I want to talk about that. The essential truth of the resurrection. The resurrection is not only ultimately important, it is essentially important, and we're going to talk about that today. But first, I want to read from what has become known as the Apostles' Creed, not because the apostles wrote it, but because it dates back to the time immediately following the apostles, and it is based off of what they taught in the scriptures, where we will ultimately land. These words will be on the screen, and I invite you to read them with me, either silently, or you are welcome to read aloud with me. They start with two very powerful words, "I believe." If someone were to ask you what you believe, I pray that you will be ready to respond, because what you believe about God is the most defining thing about your reality and who you are. Let's read together. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead." We'll stop there. There's more to the creed that we will pick up in the weeks to come. But if you were to ask those who shaped and formed and proclaimed this statement, how crucial is the resurrection to Christian faith? They would say no resurrection, no salvation, that you had to believe in order to be saved. If you were to ask the apostles who comprised the New Testament, they would affirm the same. The resurrection is important and essential truth for two big reasons. The first is what I just shared, and that is, it's essential for salvation. Those of us who are familiar with the New Testament will remember that the Apostle Paul said it this this way in Romans 10 and 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice that belief in the fact that God has raised Jesus from the dead is essential. Why? It's because the resurrection is the public proclamation of the victory of the cross. None of the cross makes sense if there's no resurrection. If all Jesus was a good moral teacher who shared with us some great ethical principles and then died, he'd be no different than any other great philosopher. But the fact that he rose from the grave is confirmation that he is exactly who he says he was, and that is the Son of God sent into the world to rescue us from our sin. Amen? And so we believe in the resurrection.
Well, I hope that you are saying, along with saints throughout the ages, the generations, across time and culture, that you believe in the resurrection. But knowing that, saying that will not go unchallenged. People far and wide will try to challenge your faith in the resurrection. How could you possibly, in a scientific age, believe in the resurrection? How could you believe that Jesus is historically significant? Well, I want to equip you to be able to, like Paul, share, explain, and defend why you believe in the resurrection and why others should as well. And so that's why this message is so near and dear to my heart today. Can you do me a favor and stick and stay? Because we're going to come back and delve deeper into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, while we're going to break, I want you to go to our website so that you can find out more about Equip. Go to equipradio.org. That's equippedradio.org. Don't go anywhere. Much more to come next up on Equip with Chris Brooks. You know, I've heard that for every one person that sends a gift to support Equip, there are probably 10 others that don't. But I can tell you this, we deeply appreciate every single one of you who support this program. Your impact is huge. Maybe it's been a long time since you've contacted Equip, or maybe you've never responded. Isn't it time to call? Here's the number, 888-644-4144 or equippedradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. In just a moment, we're going to go back into the message, why I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was my Easter message that I preached not too long ago at my home church, Woodside Bible Church. By the way, if you're in Southeast Michigan, we'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, either for Good Friday service or for Easter resurrection Sunday morning. You can find out more by going to our website, find out about my church there, Woodside Bible Church, by going to equippedradio.org. That's equippedradio.org. There's a link there for today's program details. I also want to invite you to our next Equipper Zoom webinar. This is something we do quarterly for our monthly partners. And what I try to do is just kind of prayerfully consider what are important topics that we need to talk about that are at the intersection of culture and Christianity, things that you're encountering every day. Well, I thought during this Easter season, it would be important for us to take up the question, how do you know Christianity is true? Is that provable? Is that defensible? And I want to be able to help you to understand that. And even further, how do you know that you are actually in the faith, or someone else is, for that matter? It's going to be taking place Thursday, April 18th, immediately following the program. But I want you to sign up for this. If you have a friend, a neighbor, a colleague or coworker that you're trying to reach with the gospel, in particular, someone you love that's asking tough and hard questions. Maybe you are in a hostile family and you're the only Christian and they're asking you, how do you even know that Christianity is true? Or maybe even pushing back, saying that there's no way for you to know that Christianity is true. We're going to talk about the scientific, historical, philosophical reasons to believe that Christianity is true. Yes, we are a faith that requires you to believe in Jesus by faith, but not blind faith. There is evidence to believe that Jesus is exactly who he says he is and that we should follow him. So I want to encourage you to sign up for it. If you've not registered yet, please do so. If you're a monthly partner, all that means is for you to go to your email inbox, type in Equipper Encouragement, and the registration info is in that email. You should have already seen it, but just type in Equipper Encouragement. It'll be made available to you. But if you're not an Equipper or a monthly partner, it's so easy to become one. Just dial this number, 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. And I hope to see you at our next Equipper Zoom webinar. Well, friends, why should you and I believe in the resurrection? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Apostle Paul answers this question in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's rejoin the message.
The second reason why the resurrection is important is because of our future hope. How many have a future hope? How many look at the future not through eyes of fear and sadness, but through an eye of a future hope? I love what German theologian Eric Sauer says. I was reading him earlier this week, and he says, we live between two Easters. The first Easter was marked by the resurrection of the Redeemer, and the second Easter that's coming will be marked by the resurrection of the redeemed. In other words, there's a day that is coming where we will participate in the resurrection of Jesus. When he raises from the dead, it is with a promise attached, that all who put their faith and trust in me will live and live again. That means that death is no longer a period. Death is only a comma for those who has trusted in him. Now, there's a lot of ways I could go with our message today. I could spend the next few moments defending the resurrection. Certainly, Paul does that in the chapter we're going to look at today. But I don't want to spend all of my time defending the resurrection. I want to assume that the resurrection actually happened. Can we agree on that in this room, that the resurrection actually did take place? So if that is true, it is by definition the main event of human history. It is, by definition, the most important event, the watershed moment of human history. Jesus raising from the dead after living a sinless life, dying for our sins, securing reconciliation with God, and excusing those who put their faith in him from the penalty and judgment of sin. There is no greater moment in history, in your life or in previous history before you were born, that is greater than the resurrection. But here's my question for you and for me. What is then the present power of the resurrection on the way that we live? In other words, if you believe in the resurrection, it cannot be moderately important to us. If you believe in the resurrection, it is of infinite importance. If he is not raised from the dead, then Christianity is of no importance. The apostles lied. We're still dead in our sins. There is no hope. But if he has, as we have agreed, rose from the dead, and by the way, that was confirmed through authority, the testimony of Scripture, through history, the eyewitnesses who saw the post-resurrected Jesus, and also logically, why else would the apostles die for a lie? They wouldn't have. They died because they were convinced after seeing the resurrected Lord that he was worth living for and dying for. So if the resurrection happened, it should change the way you live. Has it? If you believe in the resurrection, it should cause kids to want to be baptized. If you believe in the resurrection, it should cause young adults to say, I want to be a missionary that reaches the unreached peoples of the world. If you believe in the resurrection, it should cause those who are rich in this world to say, I want to invest my resources in the spread of the gospel across the globe. If you believe in the resurrection, it should cause those who are facing death to do so differently, with hope and with great peace. If you and I believe in the resurrection, it should cause those of us who have been wounded and mistreated and abused by people to offer to them the same mercy and grace and forgiveness we have received in Christ. Resurrection is not moderately or mildly important. It is not something that only affects our Sundays. It affects every day of our lives. And this is what the Apostle Paul argues in what is the greatest chapter on the resurrection in our Bibles. Join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you have your Bibles, open them with me there. There should be one in front of you if you need one. If you have your apps, you can open it there, or you can just Google 1 Corinthians 15 and it'll get you there. We're gonna look at just a few verses, starting in verse number 20. And what we're gonna consider today are three implications of how now we should live in light of the resurrection. What does the resurrection mean for how I live today? And the first thing that we see the Apostle Paul, who wrote this, arguing is that Jesus's victory means that all believers will be made alive. It means that everyone who has trusted in him will live and live again. Let's read verse number 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, I love these words. The Apostle Paul starts off not weakly, but boldly. He starts off confidently with these words, but in fact, Christ has raised from the dead, period, full stop. He says it is a fact that Christ has raised from the dead. Again, confirmed over and over again. And this is the testimony of the empty tomb, that Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. There's a reason why we sing today. There's a reason why some of you even dressed a little nicer today. There's a reason why we're going out to dinners today, many of you. It's because we are celebrating something. And what are we celebrating? We are celebrating the fact that he not only died, but he predicted that if you bury this body in 3 days, I will raise it up again. And how many are grateful that he pulled it off and that he is who he says he is. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He goes on to say that he is the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. Now, by using the phrase falling asleep, he is referring to death with a euphemism. And this is consistent throughout the New Testament. Jesus even referred to death as falling asleep. Isn't that a sweet way of thinking of death? As you get older, you start thinking of those things. I certainly am as I get older. When you're younger, you are infinite. You can't die, you can't even get hurt. But as you get older, you start hurting yourself when you ain't even trying. I can pull a hamstring just by sitting the wrong way now that I'm over 45. So as you get older, your mortality becomes real to you. And the realer it becomes, the more you are wondering what happens after death. Well, Jesus says, I don't want it to be a mystery. For those who have put their faith and trust in me, I want you to see my resurrection as a first fruit. Now, by calling it a first fruit, he's referring to what the Jews used to do, and that is to give the first of their harvest to the Lord. They would grow crops, or they would give the first of their animals as unto the Lord. These offerings were to bless the whole. The first fruit blesses the whole. So what he's saying is his resurrection blesses the whole of those who have trusted in him, that we can look forward to a resurrection as well. This has broad implications. Broad implications. This means that we don't mourn like those who have no hope. This means, as much as we may love living in this earth, in this present world, we also know to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord, and that is far greater. We stay here simply because there's work to be done, but we don't fear what happens after death. Because what happens after death is eternal life. We are welcomed into the presence of the God who loved us from eternity past into eternity future, and we get the privilege of living with him in the great joy of his kingdom forever and ever and ever. And that is worth praising about.
Praise God for the joy of the kingdom. I hope that you are celebrating and praising him. You know, the joy of the kingdom provokes us to praising Jesus. One of the ways that we know that we have rightly believed is that it transforms our worship. Yes, I want you to follow him and know these things intellectually, but I want you to be moved in your heart and your emotions to worship and to praise. Well, we're going to take this break, but you can find out more at our website, equipradio.org. We'll be right back right after this. Our sons need our guidance to grow into men who can recognize a lie, resist it, and replace it with truth. Lies Boys Believe is a graphic novel full of meaty Bible teaching designed to help boys identify lies and replace them with the truth of God's Word so that they can stand firm in a fractured world. I can send you this graphic novel and a parents guide with a gift of any amount to equip. Simply call 888-644-4144 or go to equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Man, am I so fired up to study God's Word with you, and how grateful am I that we get a chance once again to this week declare to one another, the tomb is empty. It is empty indeed. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord indeed. I am so excited to be in Holy Week. And I hope you are as well. Hey, all month long, I've invited you to be a part of this quest, this epic quest for truth, to protect our boys from the lies of our culture. When you think about all of the studies that have come out to tell us about the crises among boys, from being over-medicated with all of these different conditions, to being over-incarcerated, under-married, under-discipled, and all of these terrible statistics, the question becomes, how do we transform the story concerning our boys? Well, I think that this wonderful book by Aaron and Jason Davis, Lies Boys Believe, will help us to do that as moms and dads. Aaron and Jason are raising four boys that are lie-proof boys, boys who know how to fight lies and how to identify the lies of our culture. I don't want your boys, or mine for that matter, to be misled concerning who they are, identity, why they matter, significance, what they're called to be, purpose. I want them to know all of these things. And I want them to know that from the Word of God. So I want to encourage you, all month long, you give a gift of any amount, and we'll send over to you Lies Boys Believe. But do it today. If you are a mom or grandma, you should be calling 888 844-4144. If you're a dad or a granddad and you're serious about reaching your boys, call 888-644-4144. We are in an epic battle for the souls of our sons and our grandsons, and I want you to win that battle. Go to our website, equipradio.org. Friends, we're going to continue on in our study of why we should believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Grab your Bibles. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15.
There are two representatives, and you got to choose who represents you. Maybe the operative phrases in these first couple verses is in Adam or in Christ. Which one are you in? Are you in Adam? Because if you are, if Adam is your representative, then there is nothing to hope for in the future. There's only the prospects of death and eternal damnation. If you are in Christ, there is much to hope for, namely eternal life. Now, who is your representative? Adam represents humanity living in autonomy from the will of God. That whenever we live an autonomous life, and that word autonomous is a Greek word that means free from law or apart from law. We have no law in our lives. When the rule and reign of God is not present in the way we live our lives, we have, in essence, selected Adam as our representative. When the way that you live your marriage is as if God has not spoken on the matter, you're living as if Adam is your representative. If the way you raise your kids is not influenced and impacted by the word of God, the will of God revealed in the scriptures, then in essence, you have selected Adam as your representative. And the way that you live your public life, your professional life, your business life, if it's not influenced by God's word, ways, and will, then you have selected Adam as your representative. Now, Jesus represents submission to God, humanity in submission to God. And this is what the proverb writer gets at in Proverbs 3 when he says those familiar words, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him. And he will do what? Direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge him. When you do that, then you're living as Jesus is your representative. When you decide the way that I love my spouse should be influenced by the way Jesus loved me. The way that I raise my kids should be influenced by what the word of God teaches. The way that I go about my public and professional life should be influenced by the teachings of Christ. I should be submitted in every way. How many have a heart to do the will of God in every area of your life? Show me your hands. How many? Praise God for the three, the four, or five of you that said yes, right? But many of us want to, that means Jesus is your representative. I use this representative language because we're a political people. We've been culturally conditioned to the political realities. And I think all of us know the harm that comes, the danger that comes when you select the wrong representative. You select the wrong representative, it does much harm to you and to your neighbor. But far more dangerous than you selecting the wrong political representative is you selecting the wrong spiritual representative. If you live apart from the law of God, then your representative is Adam, and death is the only future that is proposed. But when Jesus is your representative, how many thank God there is hope and hope eternal because he is risen from the grave? Choose Christ. Choose Christ. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to explain to us in the next few verses that Jesus' victory means much for his enemies as well. It means that all of his enemies will be defeated. And I get excited about this as well. It goes on to say in verse 23, but each in his own order, referring back to the resurrection. There's an order to it. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. You have to understand why the Bible talks in these ways. It talks in this way because there's a direct correlation between sin and death. You see, when Adam sinned, God told him that the moment of your disobedience, going back to Genesis, the moment of your disobedience, you shall surely die. When sin enters, death enters. That is true for the world. That is true for our life as well. But here is what Jesus has come to do. He has come to strip death and sin of its power. By going to the cross, he defeats death and sin and strips it of its power to rule and reign over our lives. That means, friends, we no longer have to be bound by the power of sin. That means that you, if you've trusted in Christ, have been given the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, and now you don't have to follow your appetites only. You can now follow the will and the way of God, not out of your own strength, but because of the strength of God given to us by his mercy and grace. Praise God for that. But that also means that we no longer have to fear death. And I wonder if you believe that. Today, I believe that. I'm convinced of that. And today is a significant day for me and for our family. Because today would have been my oldest son, Chris's birthday. And many of you know our family story. It was but 4 years ago that our son died. It was a devastating thing in our lives. Any parent who has gone through that knows the heaviness of it. And it's such a heaviness that it will crush you if you don't have a hope that eclipses the heaviness. But here's the joy that I have today. I have the joy of an empty tomb. I have the joy of the resurrection. I have a hope that eclipses the heaviness of my son's death. As a matter of fact, I am convinced that he is more alive today than he ever was on earth, that he is worshiping in the presence of the Lord and experiencing the full actualization of his faith, celebrating what we here on earth get a glimpse of. He's experiencing in full technicolor the resurrected Savior. And that's a promise not just for me, but for all of you who have loved ones who trusted in Christ and have gone before you. That's a promise for you who have a terminal illness. That's a promise for you who are getting older and thinking about the finish line. It's a promise for all of us that death has been defeated, Jesus is exalted, and because he lives, we live also. Praise be to God.
Well, praise God. I hope that this message is stirring your heart concerning the resurrection. It's easy in a scientific age to have people try to convince us that we're foolish for believing in Jesus. But it matters that the resurrection did happen. And to be a follower of Jesus Christ means that we declare that the bodily death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is not figurative, it's not hypothetical, it's not an analogy for something deeper. It is the deeper truth that God took on flesh, that he lived a sinless life, that he hung on that cross for our transgressions, our sins, our iniquities, and that he ultimately rose again. Praise God. We're going to pick up this message next up on Equip. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. What a great month it's been to worship him with you leading up to this very moment. Holy Week, throughout this week, we got some special things planned. More than anything else, I want you to meditate on the character of Christ, on the promises of Christ, and ultimately on what he accomplished for you and I on that cross, the cross of Christ. Today we're talking about the resurrection and the resurrection of Jesus, how important it is, how significant it is, and why it matters to us. I want you to be able to defend it, but again, I want to just say this. It makes no difference if you believe in a resurrection intellectually, if it does not move your heart, if it doesn't move your soul, if it doesn't change the way you live. One of the questions that we should be asking ourselves is, how now shall I live in light of what he has done? And I pray that as you ask yourself that question, that it will move you to say, man, I should be sharing Christ with others. I shouldn't have my faith on the fringes of my life. It should be the centerpiece or the core of my life. I pray that it will radically reorient and transform your life in every way. Friends, as we go back into this message, I want you to grab your Bibles as we consider why we should believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
How would you live differently if you knew you couldn't die? How would you live differently if you knew death had no power? How would you serve the Lord? Maybe you've been living with fear because, man, death has been this bully that has had you intimidated and afraid. But because of the cross of Christ, I no longer have to be afraid. I can serve God boldly. I can serve him courageously. And so can you, because Jesus secured our victory. But let me just tell you, defeating the power of death and sin is only part of the promise. But he gives us a promise of a future resurrection. Remember, we live in between two Easters. The first Easter is historic. That's what we're dressed up for to celebrate today, the fact that Jesus did raise from the grave. But there's a future day that's coming. Notice that he says that he is the first, but then at his coming, those who are dead in Christ are going to be raised from the grave as well. There's another Easter coming, and the promise of that Easter is not only are we going to be free from the power of death, we're going to be free from the presence of death. Not only are we going to be free from the power of sin, we're going to be free from the presence of sin. Right now, I don't live under the power of it, but it's all around me. All you got to do is cut on the news and you see it. But how many are looking forward to the day where there will be no more wars? Where there will be no more corruption, where there will be no more sadness, no more weeping, no more fighting? How many are living for the day where there will be a new heaven and a new earth? Praise God, because of the resurrection, he is making all things new. Oh, he is worthy of following. Because of time, I'm going to land this plane, not because I want to. I'm preaching myself happy, but I'm going to keep going. The third thing that happens as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his victory means that all things will be reconciled to the Father. Let me read verses 27 and 28 quickly into your hearing. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. You talk about a tongue twister, say that 10 times fast. It's a whole lot of subjections in there. What is it talking about? Well, to understand these verses, you got to go back in time, not just to the beginning, but before the beginning, because it was before the beginning when the Godhead devised the plan of salvation. And I want to read this quote to you by J.I. Packer. He's a theologian who says this: God is triune. There are three within the Godhead, three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, the work of salvation is one in which all three act together. The Father proposing redemption, the Son securing it, and the Spirit applying it. Before eternity past had begun, here is what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit devised: that the Father would propose redemption, that the the Son would come in a way that would subordinate himself only in earth, but not in the eternal Godhead. He would come to serve for our salvation as a sinless lamb to secure our redemption, and that through faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit would bring us regeneration. Before we were formed, before we made a mistake, before we sinned, God had already made a plan to rescue you. Let me say this again. You may think you're too far gone. You may think you messed up too much, but God, before you were ever created, decided that no sin you did was going to be greater than his plan. He is able to save any and everyone who calls upon his name. How many believe that with all of your heart? So here's what it's saying. What it's saying is, just like an emperor over an empire sends out a general to defeat the foes, the Father sent the Son into the world to defeat every foe. And after every foe has been defeated, the Son comes back like a conquering general to say to the emperor that the empire is secure, that victory has been won. And then he takes his rightful seat at the right hand of the Father for eternity and eternity. And here's what Jesus has done. On that cross, he secured our victory. The resurrection is the public declaration of the finished work and the victory of the cross. It is the announcement that the reign of God has come upon us. And if we trust in him, we can have joy, oh what joy, today, and we can have hope, hope unshakable for tomorrow. So today, I invite you to trust in him, to put your faith in him, because if you do, you will have the security of knowing the promise of his coming when he cracks that midnight sky, is that you won't have to be ashamed, but he will call you up to be with him, and so shall we be forever with the Father because of the Son. Praise God and amen. How many thank God for that truth?
Amen and amen. Well, I hope that this message stirred your heart. And I love the question that we asked a little bit earlier. How would you live differently if you knew you couldn't die? You know, this is what the resurrection promises us. And I want to leave with this promise. As we end this program, I want you to know that the resurrection promises us two things. Number one, salvation. If we put our faith and trust in Jesus, what he did on that cross and his triumph over death means that we can live with him for eternity, that we too can have eternal life. We experience that by turning from our sins, confessing our sins before Jesus, turning from those and asking him to be Lord of our lives. We cannot win our battle against sin. We cannot experience salvation apart from faith in Christ alone. Your good works does not do it. It's not you getting saved because you're a good person. It's you being saved because he was a good person. But put your faith and trust in him. But I also want you to know that by asking Jesus to be Lord, there's something that comes along with the resurrection. And that is for those of us who have lost loved ones that are near and dear to our heart, who died in Jesus, we will see them again. And praise God for the comfort of the heart that comes along with that promise, that the resurrection is real for me, for you, and for every believer in Jesus Christ. And I, for one, cannot wait for that glorious family reunion that we will experience with him forever and for eternity. I hope that this message blessed your heart. I want to give you a phone number to call if today you want to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time, or maybe come back to him. Dial this number, 888-NEED-HIM. I'll give it again, 888-NEED-HIM. Well, friends, until we're together again next time, as always, remember, Equipped with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.